more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Thursday. I am Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin, and this is 1320 WILS. Tonight, we will hear from the lawyer of the tribes that oppose the Lansing Casino Project, a major development occurring today. Also, resilience. It's important in life, but it can be even more important in midlife. We'll hear from one of the country's top resilience experts tonight here on WILS. Let's begin with what's happening in Washington on the healthcare front. The Senate is going to be working late into the night trying to pass what they're calling a skinny repeal. What's that really going to do for us? Let's talk to Dr. Kevin Way Casey. He is a physician, a health insurance expert, and you can find him at healthcareonomics.com. Dr. Way Casey, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks, Mike. Happy afternoon.
Yeah, what's the skinny repeal? What do you make of this plan?
I think somebody labeled this a long time ago. I think it was Rand Paul said it was Obamacare light. That would be the skinny repeal for me. I find it interesting that these Republicans don't have the guts to do what they did back in 2015. There's a gang of seven Republican senators that refused to just clean repeal Obamacare yesterday. And six of those senators were the same people who were in 2015 voted for the exact same bill that would have repealed Obamacare had they had the majority back in 2015. So something happened to flip these six out of seven Republican senators' minds, and I have my suspicions what it is. The health insurance lobby doesn't want to let go of what they've got with Obamacare. I think that they're going to have a very hard time. I think that
what do you mean have to lie? What are the health insurance companies going to lose if we repeal Obamacare?
Well, you know, Obamacare, I think the reason Obamacare came around, and I write about this in my first book, I think one of the big reasons Obamacare came around in the first place was because by 2010, companies were pretty sick of having to pay for health insurance premiums that were just rising and rising and rising. And in the book, I write that, you know, how much did Starbucks spend on health insurance in 2007? More than it spent on coffee. There's a problem there when you've got, you know, health insurance as your second line item expense and you're running your business. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of businesses were saying, hey, look, we give up. We're just going to give our employees cash, or they can go find their own plans or what have you, but we're out of this game. We're not going to be responsible for our employees' health insurance anymore. So wouldn't you know it, Obamacare comes around. Wow, the Affordable Care Act, it's got this little mandate in there that says employers must provide health insurance coverage or face a fine. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the big deals that came around, that why Obamacare came around. But also,
let me ask you this, Kevin. Dr. Kevin Way Casey here on WILS. Isn't that what the skinny repeal does? From what I understand, it actually removes the individual and the mandate on businesses, right, to provide insurance.
Yes, it does. But on the surface, it would seem that the health insurance companies would be, you know, they wouldn't care about that. But they like having. Let me say this. The health insurance companies like having health insurance bought through employers. Mm-hmm. Because if they had to sell it on the individual market, they'd have a lot tougher time. Imagine going door to door selling something like health insurance when you could sell it to hundreds, if not thousands, of people at the time, at the same time. And this is another thing I write in the book, is that by focusing their efforts on selling health insurance through employers, it makes the health insurance companies, it gives them two advantages. Number one, it makes them easy. It makes it easy for them to sell their health insurance plans to hundreds and thousands of people at a time. But number two, Michael, it makes it very difficult for those who have their health insurance through their employers to go and realistically seek other alternatives. That in itself is the essence behind my pitch that we need to remove health insurance from employment, because it needs to be sold to individuals so that way we can get some more competition amongst health insurers and drive premiums down.
But was that not part of the idea with Obamacare, was to give people that option of insurance not through their company too?
Well, through the exchanges, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that all Obamacare did, all the ACA did, was pour billions and billions of dollars into these so-called state exchanges, a total waste of taxpayer money. When all along, you know, people don't realize this, but eHealthInsurance.com, I hate to plug them on your show, but they've been in business for 20 years, man. You can just log on there and find a health insurance plan. Hmm. You don't need to go through an exchange or anything like that. That was all just a tremendous gimme, a tremendous waste of money, in my opinion.
The idea, then, of removing the individual mandate, getting rid of that, I've seen some senators say that it's going to be, Senator Graham, for example, said this would be a disaster if we did that. What is the impact going to be if we proceed?
Well, you know, people will buy, if they proceed with repealing Obamacare, if they repeal the individual mandate?
Repeal the individual mandate, essentially. That sounds like that's what they're going to be able to do when push comes to shove, maybe.
Well, this is my take on why health insurance premiums cost as much as a mortgage does now. This is my take on it, and I could be wrong. You know, I'm sure economists would disagree with me, which I'm not an economist. Mm-hmm. If you've got a captive audience, once you've got a people addicted to what you're selling, or, in fact, once you've got a population that has been told by the federal government they have to buy what you're selling, that really doesn't give you much of an incentive to lower your prices, does it?
Mm-hmm.
If there's an individual and an employer mandate that they have to buy what I'm selling, hey, I can charge whatever I want to for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a large reason why health insurance premiums are now, you know, four figures a month for families.
Because they can jack it up. But at the same time, we're hearing from the insurance companies, if you get rid of the mandate, everything's going to go up even higher because these young folks aren't going to be in. It's hard to tell what to make of anything at this point, Kevin.
Believe me, I wish I controlled an industry that could bilk billions of dollars out of the American people and then turn around and squeeze more billions out of the U.S. Congress by threatening to bilk even more out of the American people. The health insurance industry, they're the evil empire of our time right now. They have got it so well. But I'll say this, Michael. They know that the future is changing. They know that the future's coming, that on the other end of all this talk and all this paradigm, or all this talk and all this exposure, mm-hmm. it's going to be a different paradigm of business for them. Health insurance is going to change radically once the dust settles on this. So I make the point that they are like bank robbers in a bank vault, and they know that the police have been called, the alarm is sounding. They're just grabbing all the cash while they can.
That's a great analogy. Dr. Kevin Wakesy here on WILS, and you're a practicing physician yourself, right?
Yes, sir, and I do not take any form of health insurance.
Really?
I'm as out-of-network as you can get.
Okay.
Right. I run a practice in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I charge people a monthly fee. It's $100 a month, and they have me on call 24/7. They can reach out to me. Mm-hmm. Their visits are free, et cetera. So, yeah, we bring tremendous value and service to our
patients.
Really?
And so how do you manage to survive as a business without insurance and just $100 a month? That doesn't sounds like very cheap.
Well, I have about 300 patients, and so it works out great. I tweet this out. I've got a tweet on my Twitter, and I said, you know, a hypothetical patient asked me, how can you survive without taking health insurance? And my answer is, your $7,000 deductible lets me survive because, you know, you see tremendous value in what I offer. Because your health insurance doesn't cover everything down to the bottom line anymore. So let me say this. That's really the game changer that Americans don't understand. Is with high deductibles and high out-of-pocket responsibilities, most of your audience are now consumers of health care. Mm-hmm. And so it would pay for them to really start looking at the prices and consider, maybe I should, you know, use my credit card.
Yeah.
Instead of my health insurance card, considering we get patients MRIs for $350
right,
all the time.
I'm curious, though. You see the American Medical Association representing, you know, the largest physicians advocacy group. They're against repealing the Affordable Care Act. What do you make of that, then?
Well, there's a reason I haven't belonged to the AMA ever, because they don't represent, I've seen this a long time, they certainly don't represent my interests as a physician, and they really don't represent patients' interests either. They're a self-interested lobbying group, and that's what I see them as, nothing more. You know, they make a lot of their money off licensing the CPT codes that are used. In other words, if I do a procedure on you in the ER in my office or what have you, they have that coding that is used for billing.
Mm-hmm.
They own those codes and they license them out. They make millions a year off that, tens of millions.
So,
a year off
do
that.
You face any problems when you're working outside the structure that exists? Are there any specific challenges you have as a doctor?
Well, it's educating patients. I mean, my challenges as a doctor are great because I have no third-party payers whatsoever, and I have nobody sticking their nose between me and what my patients need or want at this point. Mm-hmm. So I love it, and my patients love it. But the problem is, and I write about this again in my first book, the key to solution, the solution to our healthcare dilemma is really, it involves patients. They control all this. They are who got hoodwinked by $5 copays 40 years ago by the health insurance companies. All that's now changed, and since they have a high responsibility, a financial responsibility in many cases that they have to meet before their health insurance kicks in, it's really up to the patients to create a new cash-based healthcare economy like every other business in the U.S.
So you're saying they need to go out and find doctors like you, basically?
Yes, and change the paradigm, and then demand transparent pricing. And I'll put it to you this way, Michael: I would even be so radical as to say that health insurance should cover no primary care. Period. I'll make that statement because health insurance really has no business paying for things that just aren't that costly.
That should be out of pocket, and you're saying if you look, the real numbers shouldn't be that high anyway for that.
Yeah.
Dr. Kevin Wakasey, he is a practicing physician, also a healthcare insurance expert. You can find him online at healthcareonomics.com, healthcareonomics.com. Dr. Kevin Wakasey on WILS. Thank you very much,
Thank you,
Dr. Wakasey. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.